like to look this afternoon at the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I'm sure, dear young people, that this portion is well known to most, if not all of us here this afternoon. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That miraculous event that introduced into this world God become a man in the person of the Lord Jesus. And what I have particularly before me this afternoon is for us to see the exercises that these wise men went through. We find that where we began reading, the Lord Jesus had been introduced. Joseph had given him that name of Jesus, as he had been told. When she had brought forth her firstborn son, he, that is Joseph, called his name Jesus. And dear young people, this is a most precious truth, that the Lord Jesus has come into this world, the one who was born to save his people from their sins has come. He has come and he has gone to Calvary's cross. He has died, risen from the dead, gone back to glory. coming again for those who are his own and coming back to judge this world in righteousness. This is true. And beloved young people, as far as you are concerned, whether you believe it or not, it is still true. But we find in connection with these wise men that something happened in their lives. We find that where we begin in the second chapter, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." There have been numbers of suggestions as to where these wise men came from. All the Word of God tells us is that they came from the east. How God communicated to them the meaning of the star, we're not told. How God communicated to them that that particular star was a special star, we're not told either. How they knew that that star signified that the King of the Jews had been born, we don't know that either. But what we do know is that these wise men had revealed to them by the star a light from heaven coming into their lives, revealed to them that the Lord Jesus Christ had been born. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? It's started them on a journey. These wise men started on a journey that they might one day find themselves in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth here. Now, beloved young people, I trust that each and every one of you knows the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you do, the light from heaven, God by His Spirit, has shone into your heart and into your soul and revealed to you individually who the Lord Jesus Christ is. This is the miracle of God's grace. Why is it? Why is it that you, as a child of God this afternoon, are not following the pursuits of many in this city and in this country today? Oh, beloved young people, it's because God, by His grace, has shone the light of His grace into your heart and revealed to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Revealed Him to you as the Savior of sinners. Revealed Him to you as the one who is your Savior now. Could I just take a moment to speak to any here this afternoon who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, this star signifies to us, I believe, particularly in that which I have before me this afternoon, that light by the Spirit of God that reveals to us who the Lord Jesus is. Well, we find that there may be here this afternoon those who do not know the Lord Jesus, who are still in nature's darkness. It was a scene of darkness. It was undoubtedly night time when the star appeared, when that star revealed by God's grace that Jesus was born. Beloved young people, this is indeed a night scene. This is a dark world in which we live. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of that darkness. Part of that darkness. The fact that you belong to a Christian family, the fact that you belong to a family that comes to meeting regularly, that you attend meetings regularly, doesn't change the fact that outside of Christ, you are in darkness. You're part of a dark world that is heading on towards judgment. But if God, by His grace, has shone the light of His Word by His Spirit into your heart and revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to you as the Savior of sinners, then, beloved young people, has it also put into your heart that very earnest desire to be where the Lord Jesus is, to be in His presence here on earth? We find that these wise men started out on a journey. And again, we're not told how long this journey was. We don't know exactly where they came from for sure. And so it is that this afternoon, there are many of us here that have come long journeys, not simply to get here to these meetings, but by God's grace to find ourselves today gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us started out in some of the false systems of men. Some of us started out a long way away from the truth. But God, by His grace, has put a desire into the hearts of His own to be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus here on earth. Beloved young people, may God deepen that exercise in your heart to covet, to earnestly desire to know what that is to be in His presence here. We find that these wise men started out now on a journey, but they didn't have the star. They didn't have the star. And why was that? Well, I suggest to you, if you notice where we come now to the third verse, the first verse, "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now, beloved young people, what was it that brought the wise men to Jerusalem? I suggest to you that what it was the human reasoning that would suggest that the place where the King of the Jews would be found would surely be at the capital city of Jerusalem. It would surely be where the existing king was reigning. If there was to be another king, surely that would logically be the place where the King of the Jews would be. But dearly beloved young people, we dare not rely on human reasoning in the things of God. We cannot. If we would know the mind of God for our pathway, it must be by the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. These wise men started on their journey, but contrary to the many popular books that are sold today, the star did not bring them to Jerusalem. They lost the star. They'd seen the star in the east, but they came to Jerusalem on their own. And when they got to Jerusalem and inquired where the King of the Jews was, we find that while all it did was create trouble, a tumult there. Herod was troubled. It says in the third verse, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Dear young people, there are many of us here, a number here, that know what this kind of exercise is. That is to follow the path of human reasoning, a desire to be where the Lord Jesus is, to be in His presence, but not going to the Word of God for that pathway, but instead relying on human reasoning and finding that the position that we're brought into very often simply causes trouble. Trouble for us, very often trouble for others too. perhaps disturbs the state of things as it did undoubtedly at Jerusalem. But it had no lasting benefit. It had no lasting benefit, even though there was a stirring up at Jerusalem. The wise men, had up to this point followed that line of reasoning which nature led them to follow. And beloved young people, if you and I are going to follow that kind of instruction, that which we learn from our own reasoning, it is only going to lead into a false path and to trouble and difficulty. We find in the fourth verse, it says, "And when he," that is Herod, "had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea." In Bethlehem of Judea. Now, where did that answer come from? Oh, beloved young people, it came from the Word of God. Nowhere else but from the Word of God. The fact that there was the chief priests and the scribes who delivered the answer changed nothing. The answer to their question lay in the Word of God. Where is the King of the Jews? Look in the Word of God. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the prophets, princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. These wise men now had an answer. The answer was from the Word of God. But we see two other classes of people here. In Herod, and it's most remarkable if you haven't noticed it before, when the wise men came saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Herod seemingly never questioned that such a person had been born. His answer, his question to the chief priests and the scribes was not, is such a person going to be born? But his question was, he demanded of them, where Christ should be born. You find in this world today, dear young people, many people who will tell you, yes, they believe, and there was a person here called Jesus. There was a babe born in Bethlehem's manger. There was a person that came into this world. But all they have in their hearts for him is hatred. They reject him entirely as God's eternal Son. They reject any thought of following him, but they believe in the existence of such a person, that such a person was here. We see this in Herod. Herod had a hatred for Christ, but he didn't doubt that he had been born. We find, too, in the chief priests and the scribes, another class of people. We find in them those who know what the Word of God says, but have no desire to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. No desire. Something else attracts their hearts away. Something else. Perhaps they're not the Lord's at all. But even such a thing can be amongst those who are the Lord's, dear young people. They belong to Christ, but no exercise as to being in his presence here on earth. I went to visit a dear sister several years ago, thousands of miles away from here. And that dear sister, she's now home with the Lord. And she told me that she had been a Christian for over 25 years. And for 23 of those years, she had never known that it was possible here on earth to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord gave her two precious years, gathered to his name, meeting around himself, enjoying his presence at the Lord's table, and then the Lord took her home. Well, we find the wise men. They have an answer now, but there are the Herods, and there are the chief priests and the scribes. Beloved young people, there may be some here that have no love for Christ at all. But can I suggest too, dear young people, that there may be those here who know what the Word of God says, but have very little, if any, desire, very little desire to be gathered to his precious name. And that, beloved young people, I suggest to you, is a real tragedy. What a tragedy to think of these chief priests and scribes being able to stay down there at Jerusalem and say, it's at Bethlehem. It's at Bethlehem. But no motion on their part at all to go to Bethlehem. You know, I'm not sure exactly, but I believe it was about 12 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. 12 miles. But they wouldn't go 12 miles to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the wise men? Well, we find in the 7th verse, it says, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. You know, we run into this kind of people a number of times. Those who want to talk about technical questions, if I could call it that, about the Lord Jesus Christ, want to ask us questions as to, I'll call them technical questions. But the heart is not touched at all. The heart is not reached. No movement. No movement towards being where the Lord Jesus is. We find it says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You know, beloved young people, today, there are many people who are professing a worship for the Lord Jesus whose hearts are no more touched than Herod's were. No more touched than his was. They profess to know the Lord Jesus, to seek to worship him, and there's no heart response towards him at all. Just the hatred of the darkness of nature. Well, can I say to your heart and to mine, I pray to God that we might not be like these chief priests and scribes who know the Word of God, who know what God has to say, but won't take a step to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were traveling back east, and we stopped at the gas station. I gave a young man there at the gas station a tract, and another young man who was standing there spoke up right away and said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, through the Lord's goodness, I am. And he said right away, oh, what church do you go to? So I told him, well, I said, you know, we don't belong to any church as far as this world is concerned. We're simply Christians who meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, oh, why? He said, well, I belong to such and such a church. And he told me the name of the church in the town. I guess he didn't like the answer that I had given him. So while I was inside the service station, he started talking to my wife. And he asked her the same question. He said, what church do you belong to? Well, my wife said, why? She said, we just meet together according to Matthew 18 and verse 20. Oh, he said, so do we. So do we. And I came back just at that moment. And you know, dear young people, I don't mean this to be funny. And I trust you won't think of it that way.
But that dear young man, when he said that, my wife, I think she looked kind of astonished. And she said to him, well, I thought I heard you tell my husband that you belong to such and such a church. And his answer was, oh, that's true. That's true. But we just meet that way for income tax purposes. That was why. For income tax purposes.
He had a church and a name. The name of Christ wasn't enough.
He had set aside, even though he claimed to be acting according to the Word of God, even though he claimed to know what the Word of God said, but in his case, for income tax purposes, they would set aside the Word of God. Dear young people, can I speak to you directly now? You belong to Christ. I'm speaking particularly this afternoon to those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Are you like these wise men who earnestly desire? You'll notice perhaps a little indication of just how earnestly in a moment. But how earnestly they desire to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And I pray to God that that's your earnest desire too. And that the Lord will keep that desire burning brightly in my own soul. To be here in this world until the Lord Jesus takes us home. Gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they had now, the wise men had their answer from the Word of God. It was at Bethlehem, 12 miles away. Tells us in the 9th verse, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo the star, which they saw in the east, went before them. Beloved young people, now we find once again, we find them acting according to the Word of God, acting upon what the Word of God said, not Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And acting upon the authority of the Word of God, they set out. And I suppose, at least it seems to my own soul, that these dear wise men started out at nighttime again. On a 12-mile journey, they weren't going to wait one moment. But they started out for Bethlehem. And there was the light from heaven. The Spirit of God ready to point the way, to lead them, acting in accordance with the Word of God, to the place. It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. The light from heaven, the Spirit of God, acting by the Word of God, brought them to where the young child was, brought them to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear young people, I pray to God, I do, and I know it's the earnest desire of many here, that if the Lord has not brought you along this journey yet, that the Lord will deepen that exercise, that will give you to consider no alternative but to follow the wisdom of the Word of God as revealed by the Spirit of God to bring you to where the young child was. The star, and the Word together brought them to Bethlehem. But you know, dear young people, Bethlehem was a town. It was a town. And the star, it tells us, stood over where the young child was. Have you ever looked up at the sky at night, particularly on a very starry night, looked up at the sky and tried to decide which star was directly over your head? That's a very difficult thing to do. But the wise man, they were brought to the very place where the young child was. But I would draw your attention to something else, dear young people. It tells us that the star came and stood till it came and stood over where the young child was. It does not say, and this has been a voice to one's own soul, it does not say that it came and stood over the place. It came over and stood where the young child was. I'd like to just comment on this for a moment, if you'll bear with me, and give you to see a little bit of one's own exercise in connection with this truth. God has in His Word marked out faithfully, clearly, the truth of the one body of Christ and of the responsibility and the privilege of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to meet together as members of the body of Christ. God has marked out a place for us, for His people, where we can meet together, gathered by the Spirit of God, to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, beloved brethren, may I say to you and to my own soul, when we see that precious truth, the Spirit of God, acting by the Word of God, leading us to the place, there, the Spirit of God does not occupy us with the place, but He occupies us with the person. The stood over where the young child was. Just recently, a young sister that I had spoken to some months ago, I was very distressed about her. And many months ago, she said to me, she said, I don't believe that the Lord Jesus can only be in one place as the center to which the Lord's people are gathered. But, she said, I will never, never leave the meeting. Never leave the meeting. 6 months later, that dear sister is gone. Gone. Once it had become simply a meeting. You know, in Judea, there were many towns. Many towns, and I have no doubt there were many towns that were far more beautiful than Bethlehem. But the Spirit of God, that light from heaven, that star, directed by the Spirit of God, acting on the Word of God, revealed where the young child was. And beloved young people, to be gathered to the place is not enough. We must see by God's wondrous grace that the Lord Jesus is there. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I. There am I in the midst of them. Well, may the Spirit of God make it very precious to you, dear young people, to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at the place that the Lord has marked out in His Word. But above all else, seeing by God's grace that there you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The star, that which had been missing for so long, when they followed human reasoning, now the Spirit of God, pictured to our own hearts in this star, lighting up the way by God's word for them, brought joy to their hearts.
They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice the next verse. And when they were come into the house, brought to the very, very house, and there, the star marking it out, there is the place. Come into the house. What did they see? Why, it says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. They saw the young child. Here was what they had started out to seek. Here was the one that they had started on this long journey to reach, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were there in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. Beloved young people, do you know what that means? Do you know what it means? Tomorrow morning, many of us here, if the Lord tarries, will have that privilege of sitting down here in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered here because the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, has brought us to see that is where He is. And we are there because He is there. Not because of the town, not because of the house, but because of the person. The Lord Jesus is there. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. Worshipped Him. Oh, my dear young people, we find that they had started out again on that journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Again, apparently, in the night. The star appeared, brought them there to that place. And there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, there they worshipped Him. Worshipped Him. Oh, couldn't they have worshipped Him back there in the land of the East? Did they have to go on this long journey? I have heard true children of God say that. I don't have to go anywhere. I can worship God in my own home. I can worship the Lord Jesus wherever I am. The wise men could have said that too. But they wouldn't have known the precious privilege that was theirs that day of falling down before the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping Him in His presence. In His presence. The order that we have here, first of all, God reveals to us who His Son is. Then, after all human reasoning has been set aside, and we act the authority and instruction of the Word of God, the Spirit of God brings us to the place where the Lord Jesus is in the midst. Dear young people, have you come to that place? Have you come to that place? Is the Lord Jesus important enough in your life? But even though it's a dark world, what you desire above all else is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And there, in His presence, to worship Him. Well, then you notice the latter part of the 11th verse. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I believe it was mentioned yesterday in our meetings, something of the thought in connection with these gifts, and I have no doubt that what was mentioned yesterday was true. Pictured in these gifts, undoubtedly revealed by the Spirit of God, as to what gifts they should give. We have pictured before us that which would perhaps speak in the gold of the divinity of Christ, in the frankincense of the mystery of his person, and of the sweet fragrance of that person to the heart of God. And perhaps in the myrrh we have that which brings before us his suffering, even unto death. But it has been an exercise to one's own soul, dear young people, to see these gifts presented in the context of the outline that we're following this afternoon, and for them to be an exercise to one's own soul. We find the wise man, and please remember the order that is brought before us. First, the revelation of who he is. Secondly, the setting aside of all human reasoning. Thirdly, the acting upon the authority of the Word of God that would give us to come and be found where he is, in his presence, worshiping him. And then, offering to him gifts. You notice what it says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Dear young people, you have many, many things to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many things to present to him, to lay at his feet. You notice again, it has struck one's own soul. In the 11th verse it says, and fell down and worshipped him. It doesn't say anything about rising again. Fell down and worshipped him and presented to him their gifts. Well, what has been a voice to one's own soul? And I mention this just as an application of this verse, because, as I've already said, I believe the Spirit of God is bringing before us in a particular way in these gifts that which has to do with the person of Christ. But it has been, and I trust it will be for you too, an exercise, dear young people, as to the gifts that we are prepared to lay at the Lord's feet. The first one is gold. The first one. Beloved young people, are you and I prepared to lay all our material possessions at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Oh, how this searches one's own heart. You know, the Word of God is a two-edged sword, and we can't speak from it without realizing it cuts both ways. These ones opened their treasures, and presented unto him gifts, gold. The reason I say this, dear young people, there is a danger for us, and I hope I can say this without offending anyone, but there is a danger for us feeling that what we have is our own, and what we don't need, what is superfluous to our requirements as we interpret them, we'll give those to the Lord. But what they presented to the Lord was their treasures, and they laid them at his feet. Dear young people, you're starting out in life, and the Lord Jesus, if he tarries, may give you to see you yourself grow up. And if you set your heart on things in this world, they are only going to disappoint you. But if you take all that the Lord commits to your care and lay them at his feet, how much you'll reap in your own soul, both here and for all eternity. In the 8th chapter of Mark, we have the account given to us of the time when the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. So he commanded them to have the people sit down, and he gave them from the seven loaves, and they distributed to the people. And I believe 5,000 people were saved, were fed. 5,000 people were fed. And then the Lord gave back his disciples 7 baskets full. For every loaf, they got a basket full. And in the meantime, 5,000 people were fed. Beloved young people, may you and I say it particularly to my own heart, may we be prepared to lay all that we have as far as this world's goods are concerned at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find the frankincense. And again, this has been something that has searched one's own heart. Beloved young people, I'm going to speak very frankly with you now for the next few moments, and I trust you'll bear with me. What this word frankincense has conveyed to one's own soul in the context that we have this afternoon is that which would speak of what is particularly attractive to oneself. That which I find a sweet savor to myself. And am I prepared to lay that at the feet of the Lord Jesus? To take what is a treasure and put it there? Can I be more specific? Dear young men that belong to Christ, is there some girl that you find very attractive? Someone that appeals to you very much? Are you prepared to submit her to the feet of the Lord Jesus? To put her there that the Lord Jesus might be the one to decide if she is to be for you or not? Those of you who are young sisters here, are there things, perhaps some of the young men who appeal to you, are you prepared to submit that to the Lord Jesus and allow him to decide, to lay it at his feet? Perhaps, young men and young sisters here, there are things that you find very appealing, a job, some position. Will you lay that at his feet? It's a treasure, you say. That's what they submitted to the feet of the Lord Jesus. There at his feet, they presented it to him. Perhaps your heart is set upon an education. Perhaps your heart is set upon something, some education here. And you say, this is very important to me. Oh, beloved young people, will you lay that at his feet and let him be the one to decide? To present it to him as one of your treasures and leave it with him? How it searches one's own heart to realize this. It may be family. It may be my wife, my children. So many things that are personally so important, that have such a fragrance for myself. Are we prepared to lay those at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Treasures to us, but give them to him. We find, lastly of all, there was the myrrh. I understand that this word myrrh, and again I'm giving you my own exercise in this matter, but we find this myrrh, this word myrrh connects itself with what the address given in the 2nd chapter of Revelation to the church at Smyrna. I understand it's the same root word, Smyrna and myrrh. And we find there in the address to Smyrna, let's look at it for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 2. And verse 8. And unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Beloved young people, you have another treasure, and that treasure is your life. And the Lord wants that. He wants that. It's a treasure, very a valuable treasure. But the Word of God says, he that would keep his life shall lose it. If we hang on to our life as our own possession, we're going to lose it. It's going to be all burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. But if we give it to him, oh, beloved young people, if you'll submit it to him, be thou faithful unto death. Take your whole life and give it to him. And I say your whole life. Beloved young people, it's a treasure. But the Lord wants it. The Lord wants that treasure. Will you give it to him? Commit your life to him. He wants to use it for his glory. If we take our life and say, well, I'm going to use my life for myself, and I'll give the Lord the last few years, I'll give the Lord the last few weeks, the last few moments of my life, beloved young people, we're going to be the losers. Would you bear with me, dear young people, if I make one other comment? I trust I have the fellowship of my older brethren when I say this too. And I say this particularly to the young men here. Dear young men, you belong to Christ. The Lord claims all that you have for himself. He wants your life. And if the Lord would lay it upon your heart to be of service to him, to serve the Lord, beloved young people, beloved young men, will you bear with me when I say this? Don't wait till you're old, men. Don't wait till you're old. Don't wait till your life is mostly used up. Don't wait until practically all the years are gone and then give the Lord the rest. May the Lord give you and I the grace to give him from our treasures the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. Our time is gone. I would like to just draw your attention to one other verse back there in Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 2. And the 12th verse. And being warned of God. If you read Mr. Darby's translation, you'll find that is translated being divinely instructed. That is, that it's really suggests the thought that they had looked to the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord told them what to do. And what he told them to do was being divinely instructed in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Beloved young people, may you and I leave these meetings another way, not going back to the old way. If we have been following the way of Herod, if we've been finding ourselves seeking the company of those who have no love for Christ, if we've been following the path of human reasoning that would take us toward Jerusalem, may God give us to see that his instruction for us through the Word, by the Spirit, is to return another way, to follow the pathway of obedience to his precious Word, to our own country.